verses 10, 13, and then the famous verse 16. And this takes me back a few years when I was thinking of what to speak on. I remembered a message from Pastor Harley from over 30 years ago, and he spoke on verses 10 and 13. I have to confess, I can't remember too much of what he spoke on, but I do remember the scripture. That's probably better that way. It sunk into the mind, and line upon line, precept upon precept. Probably one of those verses which is often quoted, but very often misunderstood without the context to explain it. So similar verses in verse 10 and verse 13. The context of Isaiah 28 is a prophecy in the first years of Hezekiah, when Samaria was still standing, but the storm of war was gathering like a black cloud in the north. And here we have an account of Samaria, and one of their particular sins is picked out, drunkenness. I think it's symbolic. And then the attention turns to Judah, smaller Judah. And it seems, verse 10 and 13, that they are mocking the prophet Isaiah. They're making a mockery of his message. Isaiah is speaking with indignation. His words are aflame with loathing about their moral corruption. And he picks out this sin of drunkenness because, in a sense, it's one of the grossest forms of rottenness, which underlines the external apparent beauty that they had as nations. But what I want to see in this, if we were to give this a title, it would be The Master Builder at Work. The Master Builder, of course, is Christ, and that's emphasized in verse 16. We'll come to that. So the expression is given line upon line, and they mock it. Now, apparently, the Hebrew is very difficult to translate, but we'll come to try and explain it. But probably the key to this is in verse 9, and here is the mocking beginning, mocking Isaiah, mocking the word of God. And it says this: Whom shall he teach, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. We could put it like this: Isaiah, you're speaking to us in baby language. You're not grown up. This isn't mature and sophisticated. You're treating us like children. You're just teaching us line upon line, precept upon precept. We're far more sophisticated than that. We want some meat. We don't want milk. We want something far, far deeper. And so they're mocking the prophet, and it may be that they're mimicking the drunkard who can hardly string a sentence together. And they're mocking Isaiah's strictness and the recurring nature of his teaching and the application of God's laws. You just keep teaching us like children. When you teach a child, I have a grandson now, he's nearly of an age where you can teach him things. You keep repeating, and they're mocking Isaiah, and they're saying, well, that's the way you're treating us. You're treating us as though we're a drunk man, or you're treating us like children, and you're just line upon line, precept upon precept. So they mock the prophet. It's too simple, they might be saying. It's just simply the same things over and over again. Well, actually, in their mocking of the prophet, they're actually giving him a compliment. You see, it's a beautiful thing for God's truth to be so simple that it can be taught to a child and it can be taught to somebody who's been in the faith many, many years. When God's word is properly presented, there is something for everybody. There is something which mature saints can receive and the youngest can understand and rejoice in and be fed by. So, to turn away from the mocking and the sarcasm, what are we to make of these verses, verse 10 and verse 13? We can say this. First point, God builds patiently. The way he builds in our lives is line upon line, precept upon precept. This is God's gracious and glorious method. It's quite rare in the Christian life that we make a huge leap forward. It's quite rare as a church that we make a huge leap forward. Very often it's in steady layers. A truth is learned, and then a lesson is repeated. A command is obeyed. Probably we have to relearn the same lesson again, and we have to correct. We have to trust in a promise that we once knew but we've forgotten. And it seems to be the way that God builds us patiently, but he does build. Well, the second point would be that spiritual growth is incremental. We long for major breakthroughs. I hope we do in the Christian life and as a church, but God's way is very often here a little and there a little. Let's give a few illustrations biblically. How did the children of Israel feed? Well, they fed daily, 6 days a week. Twice on a Saturday, they would collect the manna. It wasn't given them like the online shopping orders once a week or once every 2 weeks. No, it was to be daily. That's deliberate. The Lord wants us to feed daily. He wants this to be something that we become dependent upon, to feed upon God's word and to come in prayer. Think about the slow construction of the temple. That didn't happen overnight. It was progressive. Think about the training of the disciples. They had the best teacher. But oh, how slow they were to learn what the prophets had spoken. How slow they were to see Christ in all the scriptures. So God's way, even when Christ teaches, is line upon line. It's a repetitive method. It's deepened over time, but you could say God isn't in a hurry because he knows how slow we are. And he knows we very often need to relearn lessons. God is forming Christ within us. And that's a work in progress. For some of us, we've learned very slowly over very many years, but I trust we're still learning. So God builds patiently and God builds incrementally. Spiritual growth is progressive. But then we can say that the word must be layered unto us. I don't know about you, but how many sermons can you remember that were preached? I can't even remember what I preached on 2 days ago, quite often. I'm always looking forward, the next message, the next sermon. But when you look back, some of you have been in the faith a long time, how many sermons can you really remember and say that sermon was instrumental? I would challenge you, maybe it's 5, 10, maybe a few more. But usually it's the week by week reading, hearing, meditating, obeying, rehearing. It's the Bible study, it's the prayer meeting that lays within us a line upon line. And each gathering, it might seem small and insignificant, but the Lord is working and the Lord is helping and the Lord is enabling us to take in what he has for us to learn. But there's a warning here for us as well, as an encouragement. In Isaiah's day, they were rejecting God's gracious method. They were mocking him. They were despising his approach and his method. They wanted something different. They were accusing him of being like a drunkard, babbling. But no, Isaiah knew what he was doing. And so when we come back to the text and read it that way, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. That's God's way. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how it will be done. Do we welcome hearing repeated truth? I hope so. Sometimes you might say, well, he had nothing new to say to me today, the man that was preaching. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we just need to hear the old things again, the things that we've forgotten. Are we ready for steady instruction to accumulate and consolidate? Are we content with gradual sanctification? You see, some of the sins that we commit, it's the same sins, isn't it? The same besetting sins. It's the same failings. It's a lack of patience. It's the inability to control the temper. It's that desire to be more godly that needs to be instilled within us. So there's a warning. Don't despise God's method. People today, they want a bang, bang, bang approach. They want everything to be done quickly. But it's not like that in the Christian life. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. So we must enjoy repeated truth. We must be thankful for steady instruction. But really, the final point, and this is probably the largest point, is this is the master builder at work. You see, it's a bit like building a wall. The bricklayer puts one brick in at a time. Whenever I've watched a bricklayer, I always find bricklaying quite fascinating, the skill of the pointing and how they can do it so accurately and straight. And when it's done well, it's a joy to watch. Well, Christ is laying the line. He's got the plumb line. He's got the bricks, each course with mortar in between. He is the master builder. What's he building on? Well, it's told us in verse 16. Here is the builder doing the line upon line. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, after they've been urged to hear the word of God, verse 13 and verse 14, hear the word of the Lord. Well, here is how it's done, how the wall of Jerusalem, if we're speaking as a church or as individuals, here's how it's done. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. This is Christ in the Old Testament. He is that cornerstone upon which he builds. He's both the cornerstone and the builder. He builds on himself and he builds himself within us. And we become joined to him, fitly joined together, to use the methodology of Paul when he speaks of the body. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone. Oh, he's been tried, he's been tested, and he was found to be pure, perfect, tested as in all points, and not found wanting. This is Christ, the master builder, building line by line, course by course, a precious cornerstone, that's him, a tried stone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. Go back to verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line. You see, when the word of God comes, it comes building us up, but there's also judgment to those that reject it. There's judgment to those that despise the method, that want to go faster than God wants us to go. The master builder. How does God build? Preaching and prayer and the reading of his word and the shaping of other believers, the encouragement, the challenge to build us up in our most holy faith. Should we not be thankful for God's patience with us? He doesn't go like the teacher does in the class at the pace of the brightest child. He goes at a pace and with a method that's gracious so that everybody can grow incrementally in holiness. That's how he builds his church, brick upon brick, one soul upon one soul, gathered in safely Never despise the slow work of God, for God, who lays truth line upon line, is building something eternal. This world, man builds wood, hay, and stubble, but the Lord builds solid foundations and the cornerstone of his dear Son. And upon that cornerstone, we get our bearings and our angles, and he will build it line upon line, precept, God's law, upon precept. And he builds that wall together. And he's building for eternity. And what God builds up will never be taken down. That's not a wall that will be demolished. That's a building that's for eternity. It's a city not made with human hands. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is Zion. It's the Lord's people. It's his church. Never ever despise the work of God, the way of God. We go at his pace. Sometimes revival will come. There will be times of refreshing, times when many things are done in a short space of time, and we should be glad of that. But the normal time, the normal method, is week by week, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we must be glad of that. Prayer meetings, Bible studies, the means of grace are God's appointed means to build up his people in his way. The master builder is at work. We should be thankful for that, and we should desire that work to go on within each one of us. Let's pray before we turn to other things. Our gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we thank thee that thou art the craftsman, taking stones which are unshaped, taking us who are unformed. And we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is forming within us himself. And as he puts the stones one upon another, he makes a thing of beauty out of that which had no form and no shape. O gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the means of grace. We're thankful for the appointed means for the church to be built and individual lives to be made Christ-like. We pray that we will not be like those of old who despise the prophet, who despise the method, and who wanted something sophisticated. May we love the simple means of grace, the simple method of preaching, prayer, Bible study, teaching, mutual admonition of one another, drawing near and seeking the presence of God. We pray this evening that thou wilt do us good and put these things to heart, that we will appreciate every sermon that we hear, every scripture that comes to memory. And O Lord, do bless each one, we pray, this night with an appreciation of the work of the Master Builder. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to